The 2019 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota Footy. Oh, what a feeling. Shut up! The footy's a privilege! It's time.
This is what we've been waiting for.
Time for the Saturday run.
We're ready to go here.
Ahead of your Triple M footy triple header.
Amazing! Get around him!
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy. Where
the Eagles. We've got a half chance. Rioli takes a shot at goal. Oh, how about that? That's a work of art. Chewy, right on the boundary. It's bending back. It may be a goal. Now he's got the football. So he's got it from Kennedy. It hooks a goal. And they're in front. Goes long, right to the goal square. Run! Oh, run! He's taken the mark of the year.
Cripps has a run and bounce. Runs to the 50. Kicks towards an open goal line. West Coast are on top.
Oh, nice serving of Komet. There's a voice we don't hear enough of these days. The great man, of course, doing a beautiful job over there in Perth. Has West Coast worked their way over Melbourne? And that will be one that will haunt, I reckon, Simon Goodwin for a while, because they had control of that game for most of it. We'll get the thoughts of the boys on that and plenty more. Big Saturday rub, of course, for McDonald's. Now, look around. Ducks ready to go. Bill's ready to go. Bristol's had a big week. We're going to get to the bottom of that. Run. And just a few came at him, and then a few, funnily enough, went running in the other direction. They were sort of, oh, I might just confront the big man. And then suddenly they were found to be totally and utterly wrong. And when it was discovered that they were totally and utterly wrong, they did what a lot of little people do, Brian, and nothing. That's turn around and run in the other direction. We're going to get to that in a second as well. But Damo appears to me, Fat, like he's up.
Well, he's up and about. Look at him. He's got that cheeky little smile because he hasn't had the greatest week at all.
Oh, hello.
A couple have had a crack at Damo too.
No, only one bloke.
One bloke.
It's not worth worrying about.
No, we'll talk about that.
We will, but it's not worth worrying about.
We've got Dom Sheed. We've got Mason Cox. We've got an untold story of the VFL AFL, and that might be a bit of what Damo's up and about.
Is that it?
Is that it?
Jim? Are you wandering into this territory, Purple? I know it's coming up later.
Well, we may as well, because you have asked us at the start of the year to bring a bit more to the table than we all had, and BT normally runs this segment, and Bill produced a ripper a couple of weeks ago with that Geelong player who lost the game for Gary Ablett reasons.
Yep. Is it a journo or is it a footballer?
No, it's a footballer.
Good.
A big club.
Right. Jeez, we need to pay close attention to this, Brian, because this is not normally Damo's go.
It's easy to do one-offs, but it's when you've got four or five together over a month that it gets hard.
I tell you what I did, Duck, today, and I got to the ground differently because I've got a head from here to Tassie, so I got a lift with Purple.
A driver?
And Purple, and he was driving a big American muscle car.
Oh, no. We've explained a few times, Jim.
It was a Corolla. That's the problem.
Driving this daisy.
If you're going to get behind a big thumping 5.6 litre V8 Bristol,
6.2, Jim.
Give it some herbs. Test the bastard out. Oh, get the old foot to the axe, mister. We were just potting along. I'm like, Purple, just give it some juice.
Small problem of speed limits, Jim.
No weaving in and out of any traffic.
Oh, muscle car. Going, who's this guy driving?
What is wrong with him? I'm here to perform.
Oh, come on.
You could hear the complaints coming out of the 20-metre-long bonnet. Just what is wrong with me?
Oh, well.
Anyway, I enjoyed that. Now let's get straight to...
listen.
Oh, no.
I was over in Perth, David.
Oh, no.
And I'm a bit of a power walker.
You are, yes.
And I'm out power walking around the casino sort of precinct, and I'm heading into the city.
Beautiful.
City, and I bump into one said Duck.
Mm-hmm. And, here we
Duck's,
go.
This is he's dressed like this he's this just
is,
come home.
This is, this he's is completely
got,
made up.
He's got the suede boots on with the skin tight jeans with a finely knitted jumper with a sort of a gold chain just dangling on the outside
gold?
Of it.
I don't wear a chain.
And he said, "Are you going for a walk?" I said, "Yes, I'm going for a walk in the city." And off we, he said, "Well, I'll
come
with
you."
It's a 10K.
Right. right.
Yeah. Well, in the suede shoes.
In the suede shoes, and I'm in I'm in my New Balance. Yeah. And I've got the white socks and the little shorts.
New
and
Balance.
A nice crispy shirt on that I've.
It's the second time you've been.
What's a guy off Kath and Kim that goes? What's his name?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Glenn Robbins.
Kel. Well, when he said, and this is actually true, I did go for a walk with him. Let me start. BT's on.
Hang on, I'll finish the story and then you can just sit back. And anyway, I said, well, come on, we'll go walkies in the city and off
walk.
The bottle. And,
yeah, nice.
And I said, Jesus, it's got to be an intense pace for me to get the heart rate up. I've got to go a bit quicker, duck, and the suede shoes are going clip, clop, clip, clop, clip, clop. Anyway, we get to the city and we're almost at the turnaround point in Hay Street Mall,
right
in the city of the Hay Street Mall.
Well.
And he sees the Nike shop
and he
says, oh,
hello.
You know, just to keep up the intensity, I just duck in here for a minute. Oh, so he ducks in.
Ducked in.
Spends about $500, buys a pair of shorts, pair of socks, a new pair of runners,
and a crispy
white shirt.
Have a look at it.
And got rid of the suedes and the denims and the whole thing so he could walk back at my intense pace and keep up with me and sweat a bit.
Some of that is partly true.
No, all of it's true.
So I'm sitting down having breakfast from 7 o'clock in the morning because obviously the Perth time difference.
You're dressed up?
At the buffet.
Yes. Well, I was dressed up because I was planning to go into the city and actually buy a little bit of the stuff that I ended up power walking with BT. But BT says, are you in Perth? And I said, yes, I am. Are you? He said, actually, I'm just coming down. So he comes down. I'm finishing off breakfast, and he says, he's got all his gear on. He's looking like Kel off Kath and Kim.
Yes.
And then I look over, and he's got his little weights that he carries. He's got his little weights. I said, you're not wearing those, eh? And I said, look, he said, well, you're going to go like that. And I said, mate, we'll go like that. It's only 5Ks. I'll get in there, and then I'll purchase what I need to purchase. So he said, No, you won't be able to keep up. So we get on the wall as we're strolling through the casino to get outside the casino to head over the walk bridge. He's walking along and I'm actually dawdling. I'm dawdling. And I said, is this your pace? He goes, yeah, this is it. I said, I'm pretty sure I'm going to keep up. There's not going to be an issue there. But it was very good. And you know what? We ended up doing 15Ks for the day.
What, the walk?
We're in Perth. We're only there for less than 24. We had three buffets, didn't we? Three massive buffet meals. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh,
right?
No.
We had three almighty massive buffets. Triple serve eateries.
We needed to walk 15. Walk it off.
Jim,
yes.
Are we saying anything about him or not?
No.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
We just did.
No, with his look and his carpet burn on the knees. do we mention it? Duck, you've got a black eye.
Yeah.
You've got a big cut above your eye.
Below the eye and a graze above it, yep.
I'd say there'd be a cut above the eye, but anyway. Yeah. But what's happened? You've been in a fight.
No.
It's Potsy.
No, Bill.
Well,
I heard during the week.
He's leaning in on you, Bill.
Came for a bit of a tumble.
Two
Bill,
phones.
And no, it has been reported that I fell off a bike.
Okay.
Which was incorrect.
So
did it Wednesday and did pick a winner for Bet Easy on the Thursday morning. Explain what happened on pick a winner.
But what'd you do? So fall over.
Just fell over, Bill.
No.
Well, look. Okay.
You can't fall over.
Okay, Bill, I'll give you four options. Option one.
Yeah.
I was at Baby Cats and I fell over.
That could have happened.
Yep, okay. Yep. Option two, I was at the Botanical and I was staggering out the front.
That did happen.
Option three, I was at Reva with a really late lunch,
They're all possible.
Or option four,
yes.
Innocently went out for dinner, was walking home, just sort of tripped on something, fell, hit my head.
So that's what he wants us to believe, that he actually tripped over a rock in the garden.
Exactly.
And he cracked his head.
BT, I know that I've lived an exciting life.
And we all live through it.
And a few things have been said and a lot of them are made up.
Yeah.
But, people think that it's all the time exciting. Sometimes little accidents happen there's no big story to it.
You're a little unsteady on your feet.
Yes.
There's no big story. I tell you what
I am. I'm looking for the 48 pots in the front of the Herald
Sun. You might have noticed it. I am a little bit of a lazy walker sometimes, and I don't lift my feet.
You're a tripper.
So I trip.
Yeah.
And I did. I tripped, came, big fall.
Jeez, a big
protected
fall.
Myself. So very lucky that I have only got what I've got, to be honest. So. Oh.
Can't pitch a was, duck rolling around in the garden there.
Was Potsy there?
Walking back up to the missus and saying, I've just had a fall in the garden. The bikies get you.
You're the one that's been hanging around with Potsy. So don't you start.
Well, he had a lady friend the other night. He burnt me, which is, I don't know how it ended.
Now, Purple, we move on from Ducks Week to Bristles Week.
Because
I want to.
This interests me more.
Your news antenna is peerless. And what you went strongly with it last
week.
We've done this last week.
No, by the
way. We need to get to the week then.
We do.
So, Friday night, of course, last week, they tried. A few tried to change the name of Bristles Man
Orazio.
Fantasia. Tried to change it. Of course, we discussed it with him last week.
Fantasy.
Yeah. And with the Fantasy of Fantasia whole thing.
And his own network went against him, too.
He wasn't happy.
He was ambushed by his own network when he wasn't broadcasting, when Basil was.
He wasn't happy.
Bruce wasn't.
Basil.
So, Orazio cleared it up during the week. Have a listen to this.
When someone stops you at the airport and says, what's your name? What do you say?
I say Fantasia. So, there it is.
So there's Araz, our man, little razzle-dazzle, clearing it up. Yeah. But what interested me in the cut and thrust, Purple, of the first couple of days of the week is I got the feeling that a couple of what I would call minnows just sensed that there was a carcass that they might be able to just feast on for a second.
And a big one.
They thought, hello, the big man might just have the flank exposed and I might just have a little crack here.
And he was vulnerable, wasn't he? His own network had led the charge.
It is a shrinking carcass, though.
No.
And you're right, Jim, because the people did seem to queue up and there were all sorts of comments made. I even saw the term casual racism directed BT's way about why and how this name should be pronounced. The way the certain person wanted, but that was before we knew that Orazio himself was happy with how Brian pronounced it.
But this is what interests me. So it became a bit of a pile-on, which is what can happen in this country. One goes, and then another one goes, there might be a bit of exposure, I'll go as well, and then, hello, there's a couple on, it might be safe for me to go too, so there's a third in, and then a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth, suddenly it's your real pile-on, until out comes Araz and says what he says, and then silence.
Nothing.
Geez, I've got to put my hand up and say I got that wrong.
Yep. The outrage that we all had, we'll just forget about it.
Or just walk away from. Yep. Like nothing happened. Not anyone going, well, actually, probably OBT publicly an apology because I did pick him off and now he has been proven to be 100% right. Hmm. Did I just miss that?
Didn't miss it. It didn't happen.
No. Do you think BT might have got to Orazio, though?
No, because Araz did say that Brian was right.
He did.
He said, mate, when it's in Italy, we call it Fantasia. When it's in Australia.
But do you reckon BT got to him?
No,
he wouldn't be like that.
You know this man better than all of us in the box. When things like this happen to him and he's had to weather this storm, storm for 3 days, how's he wired? Would he like to pick them off one by one?
Yep. He'd like to be a full clubbing.
I've saw a little starting point to this during the week when you responded to a journo just posing the question. How are you going about this process, Brian?
Brian?
What do you mean?
Seen any of them in the airport or in a media box and picked any of them off personally?
On social media?
Give Basil a go.
I was sitting at Perth Airport last night waiting to come home and we had a few hours to fill. And I'm just scrolling through a little bit and I saw one there that
reply.
Ask for an,
apology.
Something.
Yes.
Did you get one?
I don't know. I haven't read it yet, but...
Hasn't
read it. Terminator, the nibbler.
The nibbler.
Oh, I love it. Now, we need to talk quickly about, we have got, by the way.
But can I just say, for all those people that didn't actually ring the source, I'd already spoken to him 2 years and year prior, so I knew, but for all those people that didn't, if you're journos, and all of them were, just ring.
Ring your eyes.
Ring the person and ask him.
What about the other names, BT? Let's be honest. You guys are in the entertainment business when you're calling, and obviously JB, very entertaining, as are you, BT. But the fact that people get annoyed, like, we say Bruce, you say Brust, we say Parfit, you say Parfit.
Puffit,
which and is those wrong. Types of things. Because
They're
that's
both
what
wrong.
It seems, obviously there's a couple of journalists that for whatever reason, they get annoyed by those. The fact that you're trying to make the game entertaining. What do you say to that?
Well, I think we're in the entertainment industry, number one. And yes. Number two, I wouldn't do
it. I said that.
I wouldn't do it to anyone that didn't like it.
Yep.
Or wasn't accepting of it.
Yep.
That is the start and the end of it.
Dom Sheed to join us next. So we will talk about that game. But Vardy last night with Maxi Gorn down on the deck.
Dominating.
And Bruce actually.
Oh, he was strong.
Very strong duck and unusually strong. It's not an area Bruce would normally walk into.
I couldn't agree with him anymore
when he said, what the hell's Vardy think he's doing? He's been owned by Maxi Gorn.
Well, it's very different if you've just taken the big mark. So if Vardy had taken the big mark on him and, you know, he did that, you sort of go, okay, well, he got one back.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't even him. It was Flying. Flying Ryan took the big grab and then he just rubbed. Yeah, I must admit, I didn't notice it because I wasn't watching that, but Bruce was strong on it and I agree with him.
Mm.
I agree with him. I don't, especially when you've been given an absolute bath.
Yep.
An absolute bath. He was brilliant last night, Maxi Gorn.
He was. And they were good too.
You don't know what context it was said. It didn't look good. Didn't look good, but it, you know, might have just been, you know, you're the Gary Lyon of the new Mark of the Century photo.
Yeah, that's right. And we don't know exactly, but it seemed he wasn't the only one that went up to Maxi after that mark was taken. I think there was three or four that might have said a couple of words.
Yeah. Yep. He hasn't been parked under that many Mark of the Centuries.
No,
a couple. Gaz was about five. That's actually the most vision you ever see of him playing is with his head down and someone parked on top of him.
Sean Smith being the big one.
Oh, and Jeffy Farmer.
Jeffy Farmer.
Yeah, unbelievable out here. Sheed's got it. Jeez, this is a tough kick. He is hemmed in the pocket. We've got 2 minutes left in the grand final. What can he do from this pocket? Set shot, left footer. It is good. That is incredible. That is unbelievable. Dom Sheed, of course, one of the most famous set shot kicks in the history of our game. To hand the West Coast Eagles a famous grand final win and, of course, very good again last night as they got over the top of Melbourne and really set their season up. And he joins us now on the line from Perth. Dom, welcome to you.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Jeez, it took you a while to get to some distance between yourselves and the Demons, and if they'd kicked straight, maybe you wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah, I think they definitely had their opportunities, but you know, it was a real arm wrestle. Two teams going into Friday night footy, probably haven't played the way they've wanted to play throughout the year. So it was a good game last night and very happy to get the 4 points.
Yeah, as you said, Dom, well done last night. Just seem to be doing enough at the moment. Do you feel like you're in second gear, third gear? And do you always feel like, you know, in those games like last night, you can do what you did and just turn it on when you want to? Generally, good teams can.
Yeah, look, I still don't think we've probably played our best footy and we haven't put together a four-quarter effort this year, and we understand how hard it is to do that. But, you know, to win in that way, and it's off the back of the contest and defending, to win that way is pleasing, but we still haven't hit our stretch yet.
So, Dom, it's almost like a quarter here and a quarter there, because I think we had the stat last night that out of the last 20 quarters, you'd only won six.
And that's seven. The last quarter was the only one they won last night.
Yeah, so it's sort of spasmodic, but you're that good that you can get away with that at the moment. But I guess you hope to get on top of that.
Yeah, we'd like to change that around a bit and win a few more quarters, that's for sure. But, you know, to still be getting wins on the board is pleasing. We can work on the other things, but the main thing is getting the 4 points. And we got that last night, as much as the Demons probably didn't take the opportunities, and we did. You take that, and we'll work throughout the week to, you know, get the ball in our half a bit more and off the back of the contest and get more inside 50 so we can have blokes like Liam Ryan taking marks like that.
So I just wanted to ask you about him. What is it like being in the same team as him? The excitement and spark that he brings is compelling viewing. What's it like to have him as a teammate, not just in a match and when he turns it on, but just during the week at training?
Yeah, no, we're pretty close in the change rooms. Number one and number four, good man. He's a They're very humble and loves a laugh, but, you know, he can turn it on the footy field as well, which is great. He just brings that extra spark to our team. And as you saw last night, really gets our crowd going here in Perth. So, yeah, he's a good guy. I think people tend to forget that he's only actually played a handful of games, 28 games of footy. So he's still got plenty of improvement.
Dom, what's it like to play against a ruckman? I'm not a massive ruckman fan, by the way, but what's it when you've got a guy like Max Gawn absolutely on fire, putting it down the throat of the on-ballers? How hard is that to combat as a midfielder?
Yeah, we knew going into the game it was going to be a very difficult task. And, you know, he's an elite ruckman, but you know, we put enough players, I guess, around the stoppage. I think we only lost a... stoppages by four. I guess if you told us before the game that that would happen, you'd probably take that. But he's an elite ruckman. He's very hard to nullify.
And it sounds like Nick Natanui is going to be there for you guys after the mid-season break.
Mm.
Yeah, touch wood, hopefully. You know, he's tracking really well. Just, you know, getting in some Matt Sim and stuff now. So I'm not sure exactly when he'll be back, but we'll see him at some stage this year.
Dommy boy, Billy here, mate. I'm taking you back to the grand final day. Now, I did a couple of sporties with your teammates, and they tell me this story. I want to know if it's true. So before the game, you're kicking for goal and you're having shots around the MCG. This is before the grand final, and there's a bloke in a red cap right in the middle of the goals, and you are kicking over his head. Then it comes to that final kick, Jim.
Yes.
And Brian, listen up, you
come
fool's
on.
Head.
Come on.
And he, and the man with the red hat is sitting between the goals and you kick the ball to him. Is that true, Dom?
Yeah, mate, we'll run with that one.
Oh! Is it true or not?
No, mate.
No truth in it at all.
Lucky he didn't go for a leak. Imagine that if he left 5 minutes before the game.
It's a good story, Bill.
Shut up.
Dom, now that you've had the experience of what you did in 2018, knowing that your best will get you to the ultimate prize, how does that change your mindset now that you've got yourselves to 6-3, having had, an indifferent start to the year at 3-3, but now that you've got to this nice position, what does that do to you right now as one of the senior players of this club, knowing what is to lie ahead?
Yeah, look, to be 6-3 with the footy that we've produced so far, I guess we'll take, you know, like you said, we've won 6 of 20 quarters or something like that. So to be 6-3 is pleasing, and we've still got so much improvement to do. We know that, you know, our best is really good, but, you know, it's hard to beat your best all the time.
Is it a different mindset, Dom? Is it a different mindset, though, knowing that your best is the best? You didn't have that knowledge last year. How's that changed you?
Yeah, I don't know how much it's actually changed me, but if we can get back to playing our best, then we know we're up there with the best teams in the comp. But, you know, it's just getting to that, I guess. But, you know, we realise that every game this year is going to be harder than the next, with every team in the comp wanting to, you know, essentially knock off the premiers. So that makes every game just that little bit tougher. But look, we'll work through it, and hopefully we can play some of our best footy soon.
Yeah, it looks like, as you said, Nick Nat after the bye. What about Barras? You missed him last night. Tom McDonald was good very early. How far is he away?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I think since his surgery, he was, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks. So hopefully we'll see him throughout the back end of the year. But, you know, it's still very early days, so it's hard to tell.
30 of it last night and one of the best on the ground. We appreciate you jumping on the phone. Thanks for that, Dom.
Thanks for having me, boys. Cheers.
Dom Sheed.
And the other interesting stat with them, every time they take 90-plus marks, they haven't lost a game. So I think they're 21 and zip when they've taken more than 90 marks in a game.
What did they take
I'm
last
night?
I'm not
sure. They had over 100, I think, last night. So
the issue, Duck, watching that a game last night for Melbourne, who should have won the game, by the way, is, for me anyway, watching them, the people that get the ball in their hands the most are not anywhere near good enough at then using it. And I'm talking about Jones, Viney, Harms, Oliver. They turn it over by foot horrifically.
Yeah, I think it's been an issue for them all year, but not only by foot, by hand as well, but their hands were cleaner last night. I thought in general...
Not much better.
They were much better. They still obviously made their mistakes. I mean, we talk about it week after week. What cost Melbourne last night is as simple as kicking the goals they should have kicked. They missed easy goals early.
Easily, easily for Melbourne fans out there, that was the best game they've played all year. Yeah. That was the best football they've put together all year, probably with their weakest team so far this year. So it was a good effort.
How many more players like Liam Ryan, Tim Kelly are in that waffle?
Yeah.
There must be more there.
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere.
That is unbelievable.
Nuts.
Because he was overlooked.
Willie Rioli also, who are very important for the West Coast Eagles. Tell us about some changes to today's game.
Yeah, it is confirmed. We were talking on Triple M Footy last night, Jim, that Dugowie and Moore were massive doubts. They are officially out of the team today.
That was on the rush hour, actually.
Replaced. Well, there you go, Bill. Triple M's been all over it.
Aish
and Wills are the replacements for those two players.
Purple. I know you're going to be doing a beautiful job of this particular show, and then you're going to get home and enjoy 7 or 8 hours of your favourite day of the year.
The election coverage.
When Australia decides.
and what you need to do is watch for the person who first says, I'm calling it.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's you need to get that call out.
That's what I love about election day. I actually like it, JB. I'm not into politics at all, but it is great TV because all of a sudden – all of those lying politicians become honest.
Yeah, they do.
And they become honest all at the one time. And they, you know, as you say, it's about when they're calling it. Mm. And they get it right. Graham Richardson was always a great one. Yeah. You know, if it meant going against the Labor Party on election night, he would. It was fantastic.
Jeff
Kennett. There's a Kroger. Yeah, Kroger.
Jeff Kennett. Even Bolt. he will call it as it is when the time comes.
The other thing I love, and you can go through all of the stations, there'll be 20 different versions.
And you do. You flick around at every single station.
100%. Yeah. And it's there. What I'm looking for is hang time.
Yeah.
You'll always get some flog-ridden behaviour of a bloke who just wants to be on the screen for the most amount of time. Yeah.
Now, you won't get a chance to observe tonight, though. Because historically you do, and you're big on the text.
I love it because I can really pick out a tool. I can pick out an election day coverage tool, and then I'll send to you, Damo, you've got to get on ABC. I don't know who this bloke is, but he's a flog. And then 10 minutes later, I'll flick over to Channel 10, and someone will grab my fancy. It is compelling. Viewing.
Yeah, it is.
But anyway,
it actually is.
Election, of course, pretty close to us here at Triple M because
you lost someone.
But for some moving and shaking, our man Willis could have actually been a part of this day.
Get stuck. Do not. No, that's
we
ridiculous.
Have to, Bill.
No.
So let's revisit Bill's entry into Parliament.
Was he looking for Minister of Defence or what?
Set it up, Jim.
This is off the footy show, of course, so you'll hear a bit of laughter in the background.
Minister of Education.
I think you'll just get a little flavour as to why it didn't last too long.
Oh, look, I've got to go away and have a good think about it, because honestly, that's what I'll do now. I've just got to talk to a few people and have a good think about it.
What are the big issues in North Geelong? Literacy with school children, drug abuse, what are the big issues in North Geelong?
All those. But as you know, I haven't got a great feel of it, and that's what I've got to look at. So.
Now, one thing you'd know, Billy, what's your position on the independence of the Auditor-General?
David? He does a very good job. It was just a bit of a chat at coffee. Nothing great deal said up there, and we'll go from there.
What about the separation of powers? Do you endorse that at all? Or
The Order of the General.
There we go.
Jim.
That is hilarious.
Shut up, Doug.
The Order of the General does a good job.
Does a good job.
Well, he does.
I'll tell you what. I've got to do a bit of study on that.
I got invited up by Jeff Kennett, the Premier at the time, and I just thought I'd do it because we were friends at the time and had a chat to him. But then I tell you what you don't do. You don't stop when they doorstop. And it wasn't the sports journos. It was the political journos. And you could see them waiting for me. And I shouldn't have stopped. I should never have stopped. And they couldn't wait to just ask.
And you had your mate Cove there with you.
Oh, Cove's there.
Well, Cove's was also sort of riding shotgun with you. But what I didn't realise is you also had Ollie Appel back. Squeezing that voice got nice and high there, Pat.
Well, Jim, when I'm under the pump, I go high.
Did you know the answer to any of those questions, Bill?
Well, I still don't.
Independence of the Auditor General.
And the separation of power.
What seat were you promised?
All it was Jeff Kennett, this is true, I'd finished playing footy, and he said, I want you to stand for the North Geelong seat, which is big Labor.
Right.
But the idea was to take votes off the Labor, and I'd get some votes, Liberal votes.
So would you be a decoy even in a political career.
Oh, Damo's come up with a funny one, hasn't he? Four-eyed.
What portfolio would you have assumed? If you had had your choice in the Kennett cabinet, where would you have gone?
Sport.
Geez, I would have gone sports everything minister. Too.
Well, as bad as that was, Bill, and it was pretty bad.
Yeah. I agree.
It wasn't as bad as Mel Meninga. Listen to old Melma.
Just a person out there making sure that I was, I'm buggered. I'm sorry. I have to resign.
On air! Mid-interview resign.
That was his launch. It was his launch.
His self-called publicity launch.
Oh, no.
I want to be in politics. Okay, we'll launch that tonight.
Mid
the launch, he says, no, I'm going to have to resign.
Cashy on the way up.
Oh, mate. Remember that when he was coaching Queensland?
Yes.
Against New South Wales, state of origin.
Yep, that's it.
He gave him the big burst. He walks up the grandstand into a room.
And he got to the box.
Before he gets to the box, gives him a 5-minute.
On the way to the box.
On the way to the box, a 5-minute burst. This is what we're going to do. Look out for this.
Worked a room.
Envelope.
And envelope. And got it. It was a big envelope, just wasn't a little one that.
He worked the room on the way up.
He worked the room and got the envelope, walked out and
Bill,
coached.
You better be right with that because you're a big man.
Allegedly.
I might ring him during the week, Jim. I'll just check it out.
Speaking of politics, Doug Hawkins tells that funny story when Clive Palmer rang him.
Oh, yes.
And he thought it was Russell Gilbert taking the PISS out of him. He goes, yeah, chicken, what do you want? As in chicken Palmer. And mate, Clive goes, this is Clive Palmer here. I want you to stand. And Doug, thinking Russell Gilbert goes, yeah, chicken, no worries, mate. What are you doing?
Didn't he sign up for a period?
Then Clive cracked it, hung up, and Barry Michael, who was also running for the United Party, rings up Doug and goes, Doug, you got the billionaire up in Queensland ringing you, and you're calling him chicken.
We got a bit of news we got to get through, Purple. Where do we start? Because there's so much of it. Jake Lever plays footy in the twos. I think BT told us a couple of weeks ago that was going to happen.
Did.
And it does this
week. It's happening, I think, as we speak in the BT.
Yes,
playing for the Melbourne team against the Port Melbourne affiliated team. So, obviously, you're really close with him, BT. This was the identified week some weeks ago.
Yep, this was planned, and he's been doing a lot of match practice at training, and he was always coming back. He's been told, or he thinks he's going to play at least two at that level.
Yep.
I guess that depends a little bit on injury, but I'd be surprised if they went away from the two-week plan.
Okay. Yeah, any hiccups at all with it, BT?
No.
It's all been smooth?
No, he's been pretty good. He went over to the States, did the same thing that Nick Nat did.
Oh, yeah, yep.
The same people over there had the whole agility thing done over there. So it's been pretty smooth sailing for him.
Playing at Casey Fields at 2 p.m. today. Casey versus Port Melbourne team. So, Duck, at 3-6, we touched on the West Coast element to last night's game before. At 3-6, Melbourne, is there any chance, with Lever potentially coming back inside the next 3 weeks, any chance they can get back up the ladder?
History's against them, but I don't worry about history because this is a new competition, so close, the evenness. We've already said that 11 wins and a really good percentage might get you in this year. Given their start, they'll probably have to have 12. I think they're still capable. They've got a tough 3 weeks, BT. Read out the next three weeks.
Now, listen, I think you're right, Duck. The next 3 weeks is tough. Next week, GWS, Adelaide and Collingwood before the bye. But then after the bye.
That is tough, though.
After the bye is probably when they should have a few of those players back. Have a listen to this. Melbourne after the bye. Fremantle, Brisbane, Carlton, Western Bulldogs, St Kilda, Sydney, North, Collingwood, West Coast.
Ooh, they can hang in.
If they can hang in there, they are still a chance, I reckon.
Well, they have, and we've said this from day one, even when they got off to the bad start, and they played their best game last night, so I'm bullish about them improving on that again. After the next 3 weeks, if they can pinch two wins or even a win out of the next three.
They can get one out of the next three.
Yeah, if they could pinch two, that'd be unbelievable. Then I think they can get on a run of winning 5, 6, maybe even 7 on the trot. And if they can do that, then they play finals. But it's going to be at the bottom end of the finals.
Tom Boyd.
Yeah, 23-year-old, and I said a few times, I had to check the record books to make sure he was 23 when the release came out.
Bill, very young.
He's been around forever, hasn't it, really? Yeah, retired for debilitating back and obviously mental health reasons during the weekend.
Was there any surprise in that one? Now that the dust has settled a bit with the announcement, do people who know him, is there any surprise or was this always coming?
The finality of it was, given there was 2 years remaining of the contract he's on, it's an unusual path to head down, isn't it? Someone so young, someone with a guaranteed of a lot of money still to come. Of that money, there's about $1.5 million of the overall $7 million remaining, so that's part of the equation. This year's wage is going to be, I suppose, negotiated out, but it would leave about $1.5 for 2020 and 21 on the table.
All right, so Luke Beveridge speaks, very emotional Luke Beveridge, about Tom Boyd and his retirement, but he also had a crack at a journalist.
Yep.
Didn't name him, but so therefore you're throwing everyone into the bucket, but you don't have a great relationship with him.
Nah.
We've established that over the journey.
No, I don't.
So is that aimed at you? I don't remember you going into the mental health area with Tom Boyd myself, but is it you he's talking about?
I'm assuming it is, Jim, yeah. Because, and you're right, I haven't gone into the mental health, and I reckon probably the best way for us to discuss it, unless all of you want to, as we do on Triple M, if you want to have the full conversation now, Howie and the guys last night on the huddle, we spoke about it because we do on Triple M, as you know, we spoke about it probably for too long, but I wanted to get my side across given Luke had his side across. I think it was disgraceful what he did yesterday using the Tom Boyd issue and the Tom Boyd moment as leverage in his dislike of me. And it was personal. And again, forget the fact that that's happened. Just don't use that moment. Say it today, say it tomorrow, say it Monday, but don't use that particular press conference. And again, Jim, happy to have the conversation in full now if you wanted to. Otherwise, I think people, if they wanted to, they can listen to the full conversation last night, which is on the Triple M platform.
I reckon there's only one question that needs to be asked. Yep. Excuse me, Duck, for pushing in. Can you remember writing anything significantly bad that would have
targeted
Tom
Boyd?
Look, it goes back to 2016, which was the year they won the premiership. Tom Boyd was playing VFL football at the time, and what we didn't know at the time...
No, but I'm talking significantly about it.
No,
everyone
no,
in this
no,
room
no,
has had bad
no,
articles written about them,
no,
but it's water off a duck's back.
No, and it annoys me that he, Luke Beveridge, has chosen that moment again yesterday. It's not the first time he's used the Tom Boyd issue to have a go with this thing that actually goes back to 2015, when he had an issue with the coverage of the Daniel and Michael Talia exchange of information before that elimination final of that particular season. So I think the best way to do it, unless you want to, Duck, go back to the Triple M platforms and then the whole conversation.
I don't. I just want to talk about, obviously the situation. Clearly there's some anger there with Bevo and yourself. Not saying you're angry with him, but clearly there might be some anger there. So is it worth giving him a call and saying, we're grown men, let's sit down and sort this out?
Didn't you have a coffee?
Is it worth doing that, Damo?
Well, because I don't normally broadcast, Duck, what happens in those situations, but seeing that he continually raises it, I tried to, after it first blew up in 2015, I tried to again in 2016.
So that's, and he doesn't. You've tried twice.
That's now 4 years ago.
And is it worth trying again?
Well, I've been told by senior people at the football club it's just no point, and that's no issue for me either, by the way. I mean, normally you would try and sort it out, but this one is beyond repair.
I've had an enormous amount of bad articles written.
But all fair enough.
Yeah, I'm just thinking I've probably got more. I reckon I'm in front of you.
But no, but when I was playing, I could have.
All right.
I reckon I could have quadrupled you.
What was the one jumping out of the plane or something? That one, your parachute, was it?
Oh,
was that
I can't
you?
Remember.
Oh, that was.
There have been quite a few.
I like that one. I like Duck's 48 pots on the front page.
What was the JB jumping out of the plane?
I don't know that story.
I don't know.
Maybe I got the wrong bloke.
Yeah. That was.
What you find with Bill is when that actually happens, no man rejoices in it more than Bill. Yeah. Is you get through, a few of your mates, Duck will ring and go, "Geez, they've done a hatchet job on you today. I hope you're going all right." Bill will go, "How good's this?
48 pots. Pot, 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 pot. Been to the Wagga Hotel. That's the best front page. Best front page I've ever seen."
beautiful day at the Triple MC. You're going to have a, we're going to have a week of nearly 20 degrees every day.
It is unbelievable.
Nuts, isn't it? What's happening?
You know what? I walked in to the G today just because, you know, I might get another opportunity, BT, with this sort of weather.
You just wanted to put the gear on. He brought it.
Even though I'm a little clumsy.
At Macca's, enjoy a 10-pack of chicken McBites for just $2. We've got Mason Cox not far away and an untold story of the VFL, and this is a cracker. Make sure you're listening for that.
Oh.
Now, Damo, the commission meeting with the CEOs and the chairman, I'd imagine, during the week. I think it was held out in Werribee at the mansions out there. Mm-hmm. And during the course of that meeting, the gathering was showing the first of the two documentaries. Am I right about the Adam Goods exit from the game?
We're going to hear a lot about both, Jim, and it is important for people to I suppose, get their heads around the fact there are two. The first one is a...
two different ones.
Two different documentaries.
Right.
The first one, BT, which will be launched officially at the Sydney Film Festival or a big Sydney Film Festival per se in about a month's time, is a retelling of the events as they unfolded in 2014 and 15. So every bit of media that the producers of the documentary could get their hands on, be it print, be it radio, be it TV, be it social media, has effectively been collated and presented to the public without, I believe, narration. Wow. And it's just a chronological retelling of Adam Goods's saga, which became a disgraceful racism issue for the game, particularly at the back end of 2015. It's going to be uncomfortable for a lot of people in football. The CEOs were shown the video on the Tuesday in question, Jim. Other people are getting embargoed screenings before the official launch, and it's going to be confronting to quite some people in the industry. And the second of the two, I believe, is one that Adam Goods has partaken in himself, amongst other people who have sat down and given their reflections on the particular period. So two separate documentaries, but both about the Adam Goods saga of 2014 and 15.
Who's backing these? Who's producing and making these?
I don't know the second one. The first one is a man by the name of Ian Darling, who is highly, highly regarded in the documentary space. He's very philanthropic too. And part, I believe, Bill, of what he's done with this is to leave an education piece on the table for generations, if we want to say, or certainly for our generation to reflect on it. Now, people will have their views on this situation as they did at the time, but I would like, and I hope, and look, everyone can do what they want to do, but I would like people to have a look at it for what it's worth and maybe just to ask themselves the question, did we do enough as an industry at the time in question, and what are the learnings out of it? And that's what I'm keen to see myself when I do get to see it, hopefully this week.
So what do you think they are? Because we are 5 years on from there.
Yep.
What have we learned? I mean, I say this, Damo, because, in wearing another hat in another lifetime at North, I was privy to what used to come across the fence at Magic Door, at Daniel Wells and the Indigenous players that played for North.
And the Crackett brothers in the 80s.
Oh, going right back then. It was. And so we would say regularly, inside and outside the four walls of the club, that what was being said to those blokes was a living and breathing disgrace.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just horrific. Mm. And a couple of really well-documented ones with Madge playing for Werribee back in the day in the VFL. Right. I mean, it's just despicable. So I always wonder whether we have actually advanced anywhere, to be honest, or whether this is just something that will and does keep happening.
Yeah, and the involvement of the officials at the time, Duck and guys, about the lack of action. Now, different era, Jim, and even though it is only, as the calendar falls, 4 years.
When you say lack of action from who?
From the game, from the game's headquarters. And the AFL's conceded this going into the 2016, Duck, when in their official annual report document, they actually addressed their own misgivings about their own handling or failure to handle the situation at the time. And
you're talking about, because I'm a little bit vague on the whole thing, to be honest. Are you talking about is this the booing?
Yeah, the booing.
The booing.
Based on racist grounds. Yeah.
So if you're critical of, I get, was it Andrew Demetrio first or was it only Gil
McLaughlin? It was Gil McLaughlin.
Okay. Yeah. So if you're critical of him and his staff and potentially Mike Fitzpatrick, who was the chairman at the time in the commission, what should they have done that they didn't?
And that's an answer I don't think anyone has.
Right.
And I think this is part of the conversation that they will be having, because they've all seen it now and are having. What they do know is they didn't do enough, but what doing
more
entails,
like,
and even now we probably don't know.
And that's why this booing thing, and it's come up again this year, obviously, through different and different codes as well. It's just so hard to identify, I guess, from the AFL's point of view, if you sit there with an AFL hat on, then and where it grew to, and how many was it people just doing it for the sake of and just, you know, I guess copying and just going, okay, well,
the
we'll
just
on. That's right. We'll just follow the leader, be a sheep, so to speak. So it is.
I think generally speaking, footy has been a great conduit for increasing the awareness of racism, particularly in sport.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I think it's been fantastic, and I think it's still getting better.
It's got to get better.
And we're learning, and we're understanding more. We're much better educated than we ever were. I see it as very similar to the Anzac Day thing from a history point
of view.
Exactly
right.
That particular...
What you've learned
through the football connection and Anzac Day, that has flowed on to kids' knowledge and wanting to know more about Australia and war.
Without question.
Sort of yep.
And I think the similar thing, but we are still in the early stages of it,
yeah,
and the embryonic stages... We are learning more as we go along, and I think football has been a great conduit for our Indigenous people to be able to use to educate all Australians.
If you go back to early 1990s when Alan McAllister made the comments around the time of the Nicky Winmar situation at Victoria Park, and now fast forward to 2019, BT, to your point, how far have we come as a game? And I agree with you, the extension of that, it does get through to the layers of society, but we have got so much more work to do.
I gotta say, we've come a long way, but we needed to.
So much
more. Yeah, it was disgraceful.
It's embarrassing where we still are. Kevin Perry has just referred us guys, to the second documentary, being one that was written by Stan Grant and featuring Adam Goods. It's called The Australian Dream, chronicling the national conversation that took place after Goods was racially vilified during an AFL match. So Stan Grant, the well-known journalist, is behind that second ABC.
So, and when that, you said a month for the first one?
About a month for the first one and later this year for the second.
And we got some news to get through. The AFL... PA, especially Damo, have filthy. Mason Cox, not far away, I should say, filthied up about the excessive fines for Dane Rampey. I think most of us were staggered that the bigger fine came from what he said to the umpire rather than
trying to climb a goalpost.
But they weren't happy.
No, they weren't. And just to backtrack over what they did do eventually after they finally got their ducks lined up, they fined him $10,000 for the "you sound like a little girl" comment to the umpire. $5,000 of that was suspended, Bill. And $1,000, which was fully suspended for what he did in scaling the goalpost. But you're right, Jim, that they were unhappy. They've let it go. They did say it was excessive. And look, I actually share their view that it was excessive, given what a lot of stuff on the game gets allowed through.
So do we read into that the AFL embarrassed themselves and out of that embarrassment decided that they had to be more heavy-handed than they should have been?
I think that's a certain take you could have on it.
And what about Michael Christian coming out, I see, on social media today, was it, or yesterday, and saying that he doesn't know why the AFL took it out of his hands?
Is that right? I caught up with that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting in itself, isn't it?
Yeah. Damo, it's been 8 days, and we'll ask Mason, who's just about to join us, what happens today if a player jumps on a goalpost? What happens? Is it a free kick? Is it a 50 metres or is it play on?
Well, it should be a free kick.
Well, we don't know.
I know.
Because they can interpret that now.
Because apparently the umpire told Dane Rampey to get down off the post last week and there hasn't been clarity.
But nothing's happened in a week.
So will the umpires tell players not to give away 50s and warn them? And
well, that's the practical side of it, isn't it? If you refer to what Gillon McLachlan said.
When you watch one of my favourite ever movies, A Few Good Men, and old Kevin Bacon grabs the whole code book and goes, right, find code red in there anywhere. That's the same as the AFL rule book. Find common sense written in there anywhere.
Yep.
But apparently it was well umpired because they used the common sense rule that doesn't exist in any rule book anywhere.
No.
One of my favourites, Demi Moore's in
that. Oh, no, awkward. Hey, yeah, speaking of a madness man, he's got Demi Moore written all over him. Mason Cox, welcome to you.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, just wandered out of the team meeting. What's going on down there, please? Looking for six in a row and in very good shape, the Maggies.
Yeah, everyone's just trying to get ready for the game. A few boys out on the ground at the moment having a kick. So, everyone's pretty hyped up for the game. We got a few ends with Travis Farco. It was good to see him back out there.
Yeah.
He had some stuff come out this week in the media with him and his daughter, obviously, or his sister that happened last year, and that was pretty heartwarming. So it's great to see him back on LG having a kick.
Now, don't say you're not across it, but Darcy Moore, is he just rested, or has he just twinged it a little bit?
No, I actually think he's just getting rested. So he had some injury that was a few weeks back, and his leg was black and blue for a week and a half, I think. So they've just kind of, it's lingered on for a bit. So now it's, I think today is just kind of one of those deals where he made the official decision, said, you know what, I'm going to sit this one out, and we'll be back next week, hopefully.
Jamie Elliott unfortunately did the hammy again, and he actually went to Bucks and said, I don't want to say it's a hammy, because he was embarrassed, wasn't he, that he's actually hurt his hammy again.
He's probably just more frustrated, I think. Yeah. I mean, as anyone would be with that kind of injury that keeps coming up. And he's had back problems and a few other things, and I think he's just probably more frustrated than anything at the moment, like any other player is whenever they have the same injury.
Didn't
over
the
and
German
over
professor sort that out? He went to Germany.
Yeah, went to Germany with Darcy. Yeah, so they got a bunch of needles stuck in him and all that kind of stuff. So he's taken pretty much as much precaution as he could going into that injury last year, and unfortunately it's come back up. So.
And what about yourself, big man? When are we seeing you playing again, please?
Yeah, I'm hoping next week. So we've got a few things we got to tick off medical-wise and everything else. So I've just got the syndesmosis ankle kind of thing, and can linger on for a bit, and can be quite a long injury. But I was pretty fortunate, I think, that it was just a small little nick. So hopefully back next week.
A lot of talk about when you do come back, obviously Reed back into the team and fit, and whether you can all play all of those. I mean, Majacek's not a tall player, is he?
Yeah.
He plays probably small. You've got a great mix up there. Do you think it works? I mean, clearly if you're marking the footy and you're all in form, like, I can't see personally how it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, Brody Majacek is, I mean, he's played defense and he's come back into the forward line, and he can play multiple positions. He's one of those swingmen you can put on either side of the field. And I think he even played ruck at one position at one point last year against Nick Natanui. So he can play any position on the ground. And, you know, I remember last year or 2 years ago, they told us we couldn't play with two rucks and two talls on the ground. So I'm a fan of more talls out there, being a tall fella. So I think it's, you know, it's one of those things you'll just have to wait till we give it a try and to see if it actually works. But whenever it comes to my thought on the whole thing, I think it'll be able to work out pretty easily.
I just had Dom Sheed on earlier from the West Coast Eagles, Big Mace, talking about how they haven't really hit top gear but are still ticking the wins off.
Yeah.
Could you say the same about the Maggies? Have you absolutely found your best?
No, I don't think we've found our best. We're getting there, and we're showing signs of it, I think, every week. And obviously last week with Carlton was not one of our best games that we've played all year. And we're looking to hopefully, you know, bounce back from that, make a bit of a statement today, I think. And that's the plan. So we'll see out there today. But yeah, I think you know, you get into this time of year, and there's a few niggles and a few people that are, you know, injured, and then you kind of want to get to that end of the season where you've got your best 22 out there and you get as many healthy players as possible. So we're sitting pretty at the moment. So yeah, we'll definitely take that. But yeah, I think going into the rest of the year, you're definitely looking to start hitting your strides in the last 12 rounds.
And a similar question to one that we asked Dom Sheed also, Mason. The thought process where you are personally at now compared with this exact time of last year, you didn't know, obviously, that you were nearly the grand final winning team. You now know that your best is capable of at least achieving that. How has that changed your views on what lies ahead this year?
Yeah, I think, I look back to 4 years ago whenever we were struggling to even try to make finals. And, you know, you live through kind of the tough times and you learn to enjoy the better times where you're starting to win games. And you look to last year, I think that more than anything was just a confidence builder for us. So we haven't had too many changes in the team. There's a lot of guys that are out there playing today that played in the grand final. And, you know, whenever you have the same squad that's still playing, I think it gives you a bit of confidence to say, you know what, we're clicking together and we're bonding as a team and we know how everyone plays. And, you know, the more time you have with the same players on the field, you end up, you know, getting more connected and feeling like a more team.
I reckon to win at the end, that resolve and that bond that you talk about, and you've played other sports as well, so you'd understand this for sure. There really is a all of a sudden in the last 12 months, a really tight bond there, isn't there? There's a sort of a brotherhood, a really good feel at the moment.
Yeah, and it comes from the top down. I think we always have that massive reveal. I think it was 2 years ago, and had a few changes, and you know, we just faced up to what was. And
everybody.
Yeah, I think it was. I think Everyone just, you know, looked themselves in the mirror and said, you know what, we need to do better. And fortunate enough, you know, everyone bought into the program. Everyone bought into what we were doing. And you know, Bucks has, you know, led us the whole time. So it's a lot of credit to him and the way he's been going about, you know, coaching us and being a mentor to a lot of the boys. And I think, it's just that the brotherhood you talk about, it's something that's just intangible. You can't really teach it. It's something you have to just be able to click on the field and off the field and enjoy each other's time, because we do spend, I mean, you know, we're a full-time job pretty much, and we spend that much time with each other. So to be able to enjoy that time together, I think, is a massive thing. And to be able to click off the field as well as on the field is a massive deal that can get you a long way.
Given that you're relatively new to our game and you've added a few new players, Darcy Moore wasn't a part of, obviously, your push to a grand final last year. Roughhead wasn't in the team. This forward line is very different setup to what you had last year. Do you subscribe to the fact that you have to, you know, you have to gel and play with one another for a long period of time to gel? I don't subscribe to it. You're, like I said, you're a reasonably intelligent man. Maybe you get it a little quicker. Maybe you get it quicker than other guys get it. But how long does it honestly take, in your opinion? I mean, like I said, Buck says, look, you know what, Mason, I want you to do this, this, and this. It's not that hard, is it?
I think once you play a full season of AFL, where you really start to get a feel of kind of, you know, what it's going to take to be able to make it there. And I think it's a different, you know, fitness level. It's a different skill level, and the pace of the game is so much faster. But I think whenever you get that first season under your belt and you kind of feel like you're going to get picked every week, and I think that's a massive confidence boost as a person on a personal perspective of a lot of the players. So once you know you're going to get picked, then you concentrate on team strategy. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, you know, like I need to kind of somewhat come out of my shell to help other people, because if I'm going to be in the team every single week, I need to make sure the people around me feel comfortable in that situation also. So I think that's probably a big thing. But yeah, it probably takes a year. I mean, like myself, I mean, I remember I played my first year, and then my second year I was in and out of the team. And then, you know, the third year you kind of hit your stripes and had a few ups and downs and everything else. But you really start feeling, I guess, in your groove. And whenever you kind of get in your groove, you can start looking outside of yourself more and, you know, help the people around you, because you do know exactly what the structures are and everything else. Whenever someone comes into that role that, you know, might be new to it, or might be a midfielder that comes forward for a break or whatever it might be, you can direct them and tell them exactly where they need to go and be somewhat of a leader for the forward group or the midfield group or the back group.
Now, you're our resident basketball expert here, and there's a lot of listeners out there that are listening right now that follow the NBA, and we watched a game this morning. We're watching a game here at the moment that looks like Milwaukee are going to get home pretty easily by about 15, 20 points. Golden State yesterday, what are you making of who's going to make the final?
It'd be tough to knock off Golden State, especially whenever KD comes back. KD comes back and they're at full strength.
So, you know, a calf injury, he's probably not going to be back for this series, is he?
Nah, but I think if
why would you rush him back?
Like, especially the way they're going now. Like, they're winning games without him, and obviously it went down to the wire the other day with Andre Iguodala, you know, that massive defensive play in the end. But I mean, if they can get through, now they're going away, so they'll go over to what was it, the Trailblazers in Portland. So they'll go over there and play there. And if they can grab one of those games, I don't think KD will play this time. They'll save him just for the finals.
Also, you know your netball.
Yep.
How's all that going?
Yeah, it's going well, man. I didn't know what netball was before I got here.
Because they don't play netball.
I've really taken to it.
They don't play netball in America, do they?
No, it was made in America, though. I did find that out.
Was it?
They don't play it in the States.
Geez, so let me tell you, have you taken an interest
Why don't they play it in America? It's one of the great games, netball.
Let us in on the secret.
Well, no, Collingwood, of course. They're a very inclusive club.
Right. So
they have the Collingwood netballers there and the footballers, and they're all there, and they see each other
train at the same time.
Train, and they see each other in the hallway.
You always know all the dirt, don't you, Bill?
Well, Jeeva's a new defensive
girl.
She's
a marquee player, Bill.
Very much so. And a Geelong supporter she used to be, but all of a sudden now she's a Collingwood.
She's half and half.
Yes.
So she's your new friend. She supports a bit both, yeah. So I'm obviously now dating Jeeva Mentor, so she's a hell of a netballer. She's ranked, I think, number one in the world at the moment. And has had some pretty cool accolades come her way. So she's actually going to be a CBE. So she's got she's going to meet the Queen and the royal family and everything. Right. So I've been fortunate enough to be invited to that. And actually for my birthday last year, funny story.
You're going to meet the Queen.
Yeah, the Queen, or I don't know if she'll still be up for it, cause she's quite old, but she still does the official proceedings. I'll meet the chick that's probably half my height.
And you got a curtsy, that'll be good.
Yeah, thanks,
what was the birthday story?
So for my birthday, since she was going to get CBA and you become a lady, she bought me a meter by meter in Scotland, so now I'm officially a lord.
Oh.
So she got
Lord
Cox. Lord Mason Cox, what she calls me now. So she's
taking you places.
Onward and upwards, but it was pretty interesting, Lord.
So, what are you going to, get engaged or anything?
Mate, we're like 6 months in.
Oh, yeah.
Slow it down a bit. We haven't even moved in together.
It's probably time to get out then.
She's a good girl, mate. Very good.
Yeah. Well, Mason, good luck with the comeback next week or the week after, whenever it may be. Appreciate your time in the box today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys. Shut up. The foot is a privilege.
Now, we do the untold story of the AFL VFL BT. Yeah, you've normally taken control of this and done a brilliant job of it. Yeah. Sourced the story and then sourced the guest.
I'm worried where this is going.
And set it up beautifully and made it compelling radio. Bill, in fact, this is how probably easy it is. Bill then jumped onto one and turned it into unbelievable radio.
Craig Evans, the best we've had.
About a man who was playing and then Gary Ablett said, "I'd rather play," and he got the arse.
Exactly right.
So that's an untold story. Yep. But the bit that interests me, Duck, about this one is Damo had said, "I'm actually wanting a piece of this space.
Oh, Damo.
I'm bringing something to the table."
Don't tell me we've got a journo, have we? Well, that missed out on the scoop.
I don't know. I'm handing it over to you, Damo. Take it away.
Thank you, Jim. And as we all know in this game, and as everyone does know, there's no secrets, BT, in footy, even in the bygone era of 1984, which is where we go today.
Ooh.
It's the grand final week of 1984, and we'll get to our guest speaker today about that in a moment. It's right in the middle, BT, of the famous Hawthorn-Essendon rivalry. They played in the 1983 grand final. Hawthorn had smashed Essendon, about to go into 84, and as we know, they also played the 85 grand final. So we get to the Tuesday at the Hawthorn Football Club, and the famous Alan Jeans, the coach of the iconic Hawthorn Football Club team, was about to make a dramatic decision, which is where we will now introduce our special guest today, Ian Payton. Ian, thank you for your time, and thanks for joining us on Triple M Footy, the former big man for the Hawks.
General.
It's a pleasure to be. I'm up in sunny Queensland.
So, Ian, if I can just take you back to that Tuesday of that grand final week, 1984. You were summoned to Alan Jeans's office, and please take up the story from there.
Okay. It was quite a difficult time in my life, actually, because I was nearing the end of my footy career. We played Essendon in the previous year's grand final, which we won and won well. I'd been out injured for all the final series with a crook knee, and there wasn't a lot of opportunity for me to actually prove myself to get a game, because we had the week's rest. Our seconds weren't in the finals that year. Right. So I'm sort of training away, just sort of hoping that something might happen, you know.
Yep.
Anyway, on the Tuesday night, Yabby's grabbed me and dragged me into his office, and he said, "Do you want to play on the weekend?" I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, Alan, I would absolutely do anything to play." And he said, "Well, you're in." He said, "However, you're not to tell anyone." He said, "The captain of the side doesn't know, the chairman of the selectors, president, no one knows. It's just you and I that will be privy to this information."
Fair secret.
I didn't know what he was actually trying to get at. I think he was trying to get some sort of edge over Essendon or something at the time. I don't know what I was going to do that. But
And Ian, you're obviously a man of your word, because he asked you to keep it to yourself, and you did not tell a soul, and that is inclusive of your wife, who was sitting next to you in the stands while the curtain raiser was being played, and you just said to her, I believe, "I'm just going downstairs to see how the boys are going." Is that what happened? And you still at that stage had not told her you were about to play in the big game?
No, I wasn't allowed to tell anyone. Even the father, he said to me, "Look, son, if you get in, I wouldn't mind coming over." And I said to Gabby just that, and he said no. So I told, said no one, and I was in no position to argue with him. And I said, "Well, okay, well, what about the wife?" And he said, "That's an extra no." He said, they get down to the hairdressers and, you know. So I had to take my – we had footy bags back then with your gear in. I had to take my footy bag around to his place on the Friday night before the game. And no, I didn't tell Wendy about it.
So, Ian, so you're saying that Alan Jeans carried your bag into the MCG on that day?
No, he didn't carry it in, but he didn't want me to be seen to be carrying a bag in.
Right. And so
he somehow got it in there. And I was there with my wife watching the seconds up in the grandstand on the Saturday, you know, around about 12:30, I turned to her and said, "Look, I'm just going to go down and see how the boys are going in the room."
And the next and you saw down. You was were you running out onto the MCG for the big
That's
game?
Exactly right. Yeah.
And so the drama in the room, Ian, if I can just get you back to there. So your teammates didn't know, and obviously it's become a famous story that Chris Langford was the omission for you to come into the team that day, and he didn't know about this at that time either, or was he on it as well?
No, well, what happened, I walked into the room, so I was ushered into a side room on my own, and I had just there was a rub-down table, I had my own trainer, and that was it. I was locked in there, and I had to do my own warm-up and get myself strapped and get myself prepared and everything. And then when it came time to run out in the ground, Alan let me out of the room, and all the guys were queued up, ready to run down the race.
Awkward.
It was very awkward because for a moment there, I saw the guys looking at me, and I'm sort of thinking, these guys are thinking this guy's a bit of
He's
a bad
man.
He's our mascot.
yeah, something like that. But at that point, he went and tapped Chris Langford on the shoulder and said, "Look, son, I'm sorry, mate, you won't be playing today." And Chris actually sat on the edge of the race in a chair and he was devastated. And I only had about 5 seconds. I just sat down beside him and said, "Look, Chris, I'm sorry, mate, this is not my doing, but all I can do is I'll bust my guts for you today." And that was it. I mean, lucky for Chris, he went on and played in quite a few grannies and 300 games, but he left the ground and went home, understandably, that day. And so that was a pretty tough time. Yeah.
And it was to ultimately not the avail that the club wanted, was it? It was a smashing by Essendon, or a last quarter smashing by Essendon anyway, in that particular grand final. Yeah, you were up early, up at three quarter time.
Yeah, well, it was a strange game. Look, for the first half, we were really beat Essendon well in the first two quarters. They started to come at us in the third quarter. Three-quarter time, we knew we were in a lot of strife. Well, I think we were about four goals up at three-quarter time. Ended up going down by four goals or something at the end
Leon
of the game.
Leon Baker was moved forward, wasn't he?
Yeah. At three-quarter time, I knew we were in a lot of strife. The blokes were... There was a bit of arguing going on. No one knew who was on who and et cetera, et cetera. But I think on that particular occasion we were, we're outplayed, certainly outplayed, and I think we're outcoached as well.
How did your parents go, by the way? Once they watched the big screen in there, their son was playing, having said nothing, did they get hold of you later and say, "Now listen, we could have done with the heads up"?
Well, I was insulated by Bash Straight a little bit.
Nonsense.
But, I think once I explained the situation, I think he sort of understood. I think he had a good time up at his local golf club watching the game up there, but I think he would have been surprised. But Wendy, my wife, I think it took a little bit of smoothing over the decades.
I'm just having a look at the best here for Hawthorn that day. General Swab, Loveridge, Ayres, Mew, Wallace, Matthews.
Oh, what are you bringing that up for?
Well, no general.
Oh!
No general. Maybe they got it wrong.
Well, you played in two winning grand finals in 1978 against North Melbourne, and the previous year in 1983 against Essendon. So the career was well and truly established before that day in 1984. And Ian, we do appreciate you joining us on Triple M Footy today.
No worries, guys.
Very good story indeed, Damo. Well done to you. We will trust you to go one more on that. Thank you very much. Well done, Damo.
Thank you, BT.
Yep, nicely done.